In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
The years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. It's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes! Scores!
Stretch it. Mix it on Manidou. Stretch it.
Chelsea 2! Arsenal 0! And Didier Drogba has...
Drogba in the centre!
McCoy just came from the Batman. He's got it!
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Chessie Hour, back again. Yeah, it feels like it's been a long time since the last one, but yeah, I'm back in the hosting seat. My name is Daniel Soft, and I am joined by almost, you're feeling like regulars now. I know everyone here is new, but I feel like everyone will know who these people are. So first I'm going to start with Discord legend, aka Babs. Babs, what's up?
Nothing too crazy, man. How you guys doing?
All good, man. And then we got Timmy Timpson. What are you saying, bro? Sounding clear?
All clear here. Thanks for having me on again.
You should do like airport. You know that kind of airport audio shit? Like, you sound mad clear. And Anu, can you do any better than Timpson? Let's hear the Anu voice.
I'm back again. Yes. How are
we? Not quite as good as Timmy, but we'll go with that. All right. Before we get into it, I'm bad at all of these kind of, you know, announcements, but for those that are supporting us on the Patreon, thank you. We're using it. I know we have to be better. We're using that money to kind of reinvest. Thank you for your support. For those of you in the Discord, the Chelsea Discord is popping. It feels like it's 24/7. It's going week to week. I swear it's the best. So in the Discord, we've all got our different sections. The Arsenal guys have got their section, United, etc., so on and so on. I'm telling you, the Chelsea Discord is like, that is the popping place. Out of all of the club pods, you have the best Discord. So join in with your fellow Discord members and we'll be shouting them out along the way. Now, use the hashtag when you're listening and et cetera, et cetera. But let's get into the meat and bones of this podcast. So we have had, since last podcast, what do we have? We had the Newcastle game on the weekend.
Yeah.
Fresh off international break. Then we have the Ren game midweek. And this weekend, we've got Spurs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on the Ren game as that just happened on Tuesday. And listen, if you've got any points from the Newcastle game, bring it in. If you've got any points looking forward to the Spurs game, bring it in. The way I'm going to structure this podcast is I'm going to actually start from the attack and go through down to the goalkeeper. And then, yeah, we can talk about the players individually. If you've got any other points, just chime in, yeah? Sound good, guys?
Sounds good, man.
Cool. First person I want to talk about, Werner. We had a question, and I'm trying to remember his name on the Twitter. I'll Google it after, or I'll check Twitter after the question. But he tweeted saying, are any of you guys worried about Werner in front of goal, despite the fact that he's starting reasonably well? So just to flesh out a little bit, we all know he's winning penalties. He's scored some goals. He's getting assists. But we can't get away from the fact that he seems to be missing big chances. Now, I'm going to start with you, Anu, because you was impressed by when he took that penalty. You said that even the way he took that penalty, you felt like that was like with the anger that he should have been taking the penalties instead of Jorginho. But really and truly, like he's missing some big chances. What are your thoughts on Werner and the misses?
You know what? My thoughts on Werner, because I'm glad you started with him, because he seems to be the talk of everyone's lips. But I'm not worried at all. Someone made an interesting point in our Chessie WhatsApp group, and he said, "Shocked the person who takes the most shots and has the most goal contributions, also has the most misses. Like, it's part, it comes part of the parcel. I'm glad he's taking the shots. He's firing it away. There will be chances he's going to miss. The fact that everyone's on his case, the streets are trying to say, this guy, all he does is run straight and he can't score goals. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Listen, Moises knows where he is, man. Moises knows. But it's nonsense because at the end of the day, first of all, the guy's got 12 goal contributions this season. Okay. Yeah. It's a new season, new team. Yeah. The team's building. Second, that's 2 points. The third point, he's playing on the... He's not even playing up top.
Yeah.
He's playing on the left wing.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in as well. Do you know what I mean? He's had chances. He's missed a few chances, but he will, as long as he's taking them, they will come good.
Yeah,
and so and I know this time's going to come around. So I'm really not worried one bit.
You're not worried. And you said it last time when I asked you. You said you're not worried. You're not worried. Babs, I know it might be Mr. Positivity on this one because you can say that, yeah, the more chances you take, the more you score. But we're talking about big chances. We're talking about ones that, don't forget, for me, last season, Tammy got a lot of heat because he missed big one-on-ones. He got a lot of heat because he had a poor touch. Werner was supposed to be the upgrade. But what we've been seeing is poor touches and big chances miss. Like, Babs, where do you stand on Werner?
I'm in a bit of a mixed bag with Werner because I feel like when you look at stats such as XG, his goals are balancing out really, really well. Mm-hmm. Even though he's missing those like big chances, there are moments where like he does like a man just like hit Southampton. Those two goals were like goals out of nothing, you know, especially the second one. And when you look at the miss against Rennes in the week on during the week, it was a bad miss. Like it was a very, very bad miss, and it could have actually cost us the game.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he's currently doing a good job in front of the goal. And
quick question, Babs.
Although, go on.
Which miss? You said it was a bad miss. There were two misses. There was the Hudson-Odoi miss and Giroud scored the goal. But when Ziyech put him through, Werner hit the goalkeeper. And Ziyech made the point. After everyone was celebrating, he took Werner away from the celebration and he whispered to him, you fucked up my assist. So so what assist are you talking about? What miss are you talking about?
I'm talking about the first one. The first one was definitely a lot worse. The first
one. Why are you talking about Newcastle, where he missed two big chances again? All I'm trying to flesh out is
that... in another game.
I'm just... Okay, Anu, listen. What did I say at the top
of that game?
Anu, what did I say at the top? I explained the structure. We're talking about Ren, but we can bring in shit from the last game and we can look forward to the new game. So this is not me. This is not me trying to get at Werner. I'm just doing what I said I would do. Babs.
Fair.
Babs.
Boy, I mean the Newcastle ones were... The first Newcastle one where he dragged it wide was poor. The second one where he dragged it down was poor. And the one against Rennes, the first one, that was poor as well. But the first one where Darlow made a good save, that, I mean, it's not terrible. He's getting a shot. He's still getting a shot off and it's still on target. The one against Rennes, another one, is kind of like, you know, it's still on target. You know, if he missed, this is going to be a bit shameless, but if he missed completely, then Drew's going to get that rebound.
There's too many misses. It's all getting mixed up. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, the worst thing is, Anu was on the Discord live with me and Anu's being nice about Werner now, but I've got that recording and I've got exactly what you're saying about him there.
No, in the heat of the moment, I was fuming.
Exactly.
Because you've got to score. But when you look at the whole picture, I think I've got to look at the whole picture. I'm looking at the whole picture. And I've also got to factor in the assist that he produced in Newcastle.
Let's not talk about Newcastle. Let's talk about Ren. Let's focus on Ren,
No. We're bringing in both games. No.
I'm joking.
And if you talk about that, then not many people in that team can do and provide the assist that he provides. That was on the verge of special.
Yeah.
So, yes, he missed one, but yes, he provided an unreal assist in the game. But one thing before I pass it on, there was this Mead, shout out to Mead. He put this in the group as well. He said, look, the incredible goal scorer of Salah, 19-20 season, had a shot conversion rate of 13.9%. Timo last season had a shot conversion rate, the same season, shot conversion rate of 21.3%. This season, 22.5%. And this is someone who's supposedly having a mess.
Anu came with stats to back his boys. He tried to palm it off like it was Mies that done the homework, but you had it right at your hands.
I starred that shit.
You came prepared. Timson, yeah, you know. Simpson. So Anu's just kind of said that Werner, like in the heat of the moment on the Discord, he was slating Werner. However, now he's fine with it. But I guess the question is, like with Ren, if we don't win those games, then maybe Anu's still angry. Maybe the fact that we won those games makes Anu calm. What's your takes on Werner Timpson?
Well, hindsight is 2020, so it's easy to say what if they miss. But looking back, obviously, we didn't lose those games. So all you can say is we won those games. So it whether it reduces the kind of impact and your opinion on the misses, we won those games ultimately. In regards to Werner, his open play goal scoring is still pretty good. I mean, like last season he got like 25 non-penalty goals with a non-penalty XG of 20. Then last season he had a non-penalty XG of 14 and he got 16 non-penalty goals. So for me, in this current season, obviously against Ren, the Hudson-Odoi cross, you expect him to score 9 times out of 10, not even 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10 because it was on a plate. But for now, he's still getting into a rhythm as far as I'm concerned. Those misses are part and parcel of being a striker. As long as he's putting in that work, putting in the running to get in those positions, I have no qualms. Maybe later on down the line, you'll start talking about his clutch gene. Is he really, really clutch in those moments? Which is then when you look at the second opportunity, was it the occasion that got to him, or was it just Timo's finishing as he kind of looks to get a rhythm going in what is still fairly early into the season?
Cool. I feel so unprepared right now. I feel like Timpson's come with the XG stats. Anu's done his homework. I don't really have stats like that. But I guess one of the questions asked about Werner in general, and you guys can just jump in, is do you feel like the misses that he's facing is partly down to the fact that he's playing left wing? So in Ren, we talked about his touch as well. Like he had a disaster class for me against Ren. He wasn't able to control a lot of it. But yeah, so just in general, do you feel like if we look at it, since we've changed to the 4-3-3, we've seen Kante's performances jump in terms of like game in, game out. He's playing amazing. Mount, his performances, he's playing in these what people would say a more natural position. Maybe at this point, we can say Werner's the only one in the team that is maybe like a square peg in a round hole or whatever people say. Do you feel like a move back to centre forward will help him? And that's open. Anu, Babs, Tim. Anyone? Babs?
I'm muted, sorry.
Okay,
yes, no, I don't think that'll help because I think the most important thing, he's getting the chances. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't getting the chances, I would say, yes, that would make sense.
Okay.
But he is actually putting himself in goal-scoring opportunities and at least 2-3 a game, which is more than enough. And these are chances that he should be taking. So, I think the position isn't a problem. And on top of that, the fact that Tammy is also producing, he's doing okay in the nine role, then yeah. Lampard, I don't see he's going to take him out anytime soon. Okay. And so I think it's fine.
Okay, so yeah, looking forward to the Spurs game, are we saying? Because Werner did have a stinker, but at the same time, Werner has a stinker and he misses chances, but he seems to put the ball in the net. Now, yes, it was offside, but he did manage to score again. And so, like, looking forward to Spurs, is everyone still like, yeah, let's play Werner and let's play him on the left? Because Discord, again, if you haven't joined Discord, join Discord. After every single game, we get our Discord members to do Discord rankings. And actually, for someone that scored so many goals, and someone's come in and, you know, he scored goals, scored pens, made penalties with assists or whatever, he is actually kind of ranking quite low just in terms of performance levels. So yeah, with all that being said, are you guys happy to see Werner start against Spurs?
Yeah, of course, because I feel like to drop him after that would just be a big confidence like knock. You know, it'll kind of like send out a message that we've seen what you've been doing, and even though we know it's not good, like
yeah,
I feel like we should still be starting him because I feel like against Spurs. Mm-hmm. And their centre backs currently, they're not very fast. And
yeah,
if we play him down the middle, I feel like he's going to eat a lot off those centre backs. Even though Spurs do sit deep,
Babs, yeah,
I would definitely start him.
You're saying playing down the middle, though?
Yeah, I'm playing down the middle. Yeah, okay, down the middle.
Timpson, would you play him? Would you play him down the middle? Would you play him wide?
It's hard for me. I probably wouldn't say play him down the middle because the problems that he had when he played centre forward in terms of when we do go long and when we kind of look to build rhythm after opposition pressure, that focal point to hit when Tammy is there, it kind of gets everybody else playing their game.
Yeah.
And Timo's not a pure striker. He's not a pure wide man.
Yeah.
He's in between the two. And he's been getting the chances and he's been getting the goals from wide left.
Yeah.
And we've been looking very potent with Tammy in the, as a pure goal-scoring threat as the centre-forward. So I'd keep it as is at the moment with the Ziyech, Tammy and Werner combination.
Okay. All right, cool. And that's a nice way to wrap up. Again, just to remind you guys, because I got accused last time around. So just to remind you guys of the structure, we are going to be focused on the Ren game, but we're going to be looking forward to Spurs and we're going to be looking back to Newcastle. So the next person I want to talk about is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Now, Hudson-Odoi got a start. I feel like he's actually been dying for minutes. He's been, that brother's been starving for minutes, but he finally got a start against Ren. When the lineup came out, the big discussion point was, okay, he's playing, but he's playing on the right. Some people were disappointed. I don't want to say too many names. Other people were like, it doesn't matter. He'll do bits on the right. One of those people said that said it doesn't matter is Babs. So Babs, why were you so confident? Why were you so confident that he'd do well on the right? And do you want to out the person that wasn't happy with him starting on the right?
I will out the person that wasn't happy, but I'll be happy to, you know, take all the praise for, you know, putting my full backing in him starting from the right.
Yeah.
For me personally, I knew the moment he started that he was going to create a chance because he has two players in the box to make a chance for, whether it be the back post cross or the near post cross towards the target man. And he showed it within like the first, was it 10 minutes where Werner missed a chance? And like literally from there, after that, he literally had like another moment where he had like a nice bit of interchange of Aspie. Yeah. So he got behind his fullback and he put another good cross in. And yeah, I mean, for me personally, I feel like if we're going to play two strikers up top, we need to have a ZH-type player. And the only other ZH-type player we have is a Callum Hudson-Odoi who actually knows how to beat his man.
Okay.
And the benefit of playing a Cho over Ziyech for me personally is the fact that he's a lot quicker. So he's going to be able to beat his man a lot more easily. Not saying that he's better, but...
Okay, that was my next question. You anticipate. Not saying
he's better, but yeah, he does benefit from the fact that he's a lot more athletic. So he's able to beat the man, not just off the right foot, but off the left foot. And I wouldn't call it P&P, you know. There's a lot more finesse to his, you know. There's a lot more finesse. It's not forced. It's not forced, as we discussed before. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I was really happy with that performance. You know, he was tracking back his man. He was dropping deep when ASP went forward, was really surprising because you'd expect it to be the other way around. And yeah, it was just a very mature performance all around. Like he didn't coast through the game. Even when like the ball didn't come towards him, you could see he was still getting to positions where he wouldn't allow the winger to get over him to like overload ASP. And it was really, really good to see on the day.
Anu, what's your thoughts? We've just talked about Hudson, the creator. We haven't even talked about Hudson, the finisher. Now, Mount put him, we'll get onto Mount later, I promise you, there's going to be a whole section. But Mount put him through, 1-on-1, but he was a long way away from goal when it came to him. Now, be honest, and I'll come back to you, Babs, as well later, but Anu, when you saw him through 1-on-1, did you have the faith, did you have the confidence that he was going to net?
I'll be lying if I said this is a cert goal. I didn't think it was cert. I was like, what? Firstly, he controlled. I knew he'd bring that ball down well. I knew he'll get to the pull off the strike, but I wasn't so confident. The only reason saying that is because he's had a few Iggy moments on the left side when he has scored, but the strike doesn't seem so clean.
Yeah.
And I think it's been recognised quite a lot. So I think for that reason, I was a bit worried. But I was so happy when he scored. And I thought the link-up was unreal. And I thought he deserved the goal. He played really well all game.
Yeah. Those type of chances, forget just Hudson-Odoi. We've seen it with Tammy. We've seen it with Mount. I remember Mount kind of went through against Bayern. When you're so far away on goal and it's one-on-one, there's a lot of pressure. As you get closer, it builds. And so for anyone, for I was just like, for anyone, that's like difficult. And yeah, he put it away. And obviously, like we said before, we've seen him. He hasn't had the best of finishes all the time, but we've seen some good finishes too. Timpson, what about you? The ball comes to Hudson-Odoi, one-on-one. This is obviously, you've watched him from youth. You probably know him more than most. You're backing him. You're always in the Cho camp. No one can ever doubt you and Cho. But did you doubt Cho at that moment?
As soon as he was ahead of the defender, no chance. The way his first touch, as soon as his first touch didn't betray him, I knew that was it. Second touch to set himself, and then the finish. He just had in his swagger and as in his dribbling technique, he just had the swagger that you come to expect from him at academy and first team level when he's at his best. So no chance I was thinking there was any kind of risk of him missing that.
Yeah, I mean, like, what you're saying is correct. There's sometimes I can see Hudson when he's playing and it just feels like he's got all the swagger and all the confidence in the world. And he started the game that way, which is why it was important for me to for him to bury that, because that could have kind of played on his mind. But like we said, we've got Hudson, the finisher. We've got Hudson, the creator. What Lampard said before this game is that this is a big chance. He always says this about Hudson-Odoi. He keeps on saying this is his chance. He has to take it.
And I think it's unfair. I think that's a bit unfair.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Go on, speak. You know what I
mean? It's just I think it's always been quite harsh when that is that ultimate pressure is put on. You're not playing. You're not picking him. Yeah, when he comes on for those, you're giving him drip-drap minutes. Yeah. When he comes on for those 20, 15 minutes, then it has to be his chance. So it's always quite difficult. And then when you let someone start and they're not really at match speed, again, it just amplifies how difficult it is. But I also want to make the point that it's clear that clear that Cho has not been 100% fit from the beginning of the season.
Do you have any input on that?
Listen, there's some sources that say that he's been doing some extracurricular physio outside of Chelsea. Okay. So he hasn't been fit, and I don't think that's been documented. So that makes it even more impressive what he's been doing. He's been scoring, he's been playing, and he hasn't been 100% there. So I think if we're seeing him nearly 100% there, which we are, it looks like, then there's trouble. There's serious trouble.
Cool. Timpson,
I'm excited for what's to come.
Timpson, before you come in, like I was saying, Lampard usually says before the match, he has to take it. And a couple of times this season, he said that, and Hudson-Odoi has always taken it. I think most games where Hudson-Odoi has played more than the cameo, he's either scored or assisted. But so after the game, Lampard was asked about it, and he said, I know that Hudson wants more minutes, but it's not cut and dry. He's still developing. He's just come back from a long-term injury. So it seems like before the game, Lampard's happy to put all the pressure that Hudson-Odoi has to take this chance. But then when Hudson-Odoi does take it, what does it even mean, Timpson?
Very good question indeed. I was really happy to hear that he acknowledged the under-21 games where Callum absolutely tore it up, and he explained it's not, as much as I say it's about him taking his chances, sometimes he's got a lot of good competition with Timo, Pulisic, and obviously unofficially, indirectly, Tammy Abraham as the striker, as competition, so it's not as cut and dry. So it's good to know, but at the same time, that's two goals in two Champions League, in two Champions League starts, so Callum can't do much else more to state his case. So I would be very disappointed if Christian Pulisic just comes in ahead of him like he did before his last injury layoff.
Yo, so you just messed up my new... That was the next on the docket, to be fair. That's a nice transition. So, look, Pulisic has been injured. And even with Pulisic's injury, Hudson-Odoi struggled to get starts. Now, as Lampard kind of referred to, even when Hudson takes his chances, it means nothing. We just saw Werner really have a poor game, whereas Hudson-Odoi scored. He set, Werner up for a big chance. You know, had a good game overall. Good game defensively too, so you can't really use that against Hudson too. But like I said before, what does it really mean? So in terms of Pulisic coming back, what do you think the right thing to do is? Because it's not easy for Lampard. Let's be honest. It's not easy. Like, I always say that the optimum wing is to have a wide option. So like Werner's not a winger, but he's a wide option at this point. The optimal wide option to have is three for me. And then maybe some other people that can deputize there. Now, we can see that Werner is starting regularly as a wide option. So he's clearly a wide option. Ziyech is clearly a wide option. Pulisic will be a wide option. Pulisic, if he continues to be injury prone, it might work out. But does anyone have an idea? Because at this point, it's looking tough on Hudson, where he's coming in and he's doing his job. But at the same time, it feels like he's not going to get, it's not going to help. It's not going to change anything. He's still going to be like the last run. Babs, what's your thoughts on it?
I think is if we're to use the past experience that we've seen, it is very, very worrying. But I mean, if you look at the current like fixture schedule coming up into December,
mm-hmm.
we've got what, 7 games in December alone?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's surely going to be a couple starts there for both of them.
Yeah.
You know, and if Cho does, you know, get a couple consecutive starts and he does pick up form, we may see him become a bit more integrated into the team. And
cool.
I don't think it's something to worry about due to his age. And also we don't know what's going on in the background. You know, there's been many stories, you know, there's been many rumours, there's been this, that, and up. For all we know, it could be Lampard just protecting him from the media. And I mean, as out there as it probably sounds, me saying that, I feel like we just need to just wait a bit, see how it goes going into the January. If by January he's not getting the starts, then it's obviously going to have to be him pushing for a loan to get more consecutive minutes.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, cool. So let's move on. Just to kind of wrap that up, again, Hudson-Odoi in Europe has had 8 starts. That's not just Champions League, that's Europa too.
Europa League as well, yeah.
8 starts, 6 goals, 2 assists. In fact, I did...
3 assists.
Okay, my
three
bad. Assists. I even took some of his produce off. That's 3 assists. Well, I'm glad that I've got other people on the podcast. But here's the thing. I have done some Hudson-Odoi analysis recently. And even in the top 5 leagues in Europe, just in terms of chance creation, he is up there. And he was up there last season as well. And obviously, like, we're seeing a lot of his kind of goal prowess too. So this is a big talent. This is someone that creates a lot and that has potential to score a lot. Yeah, so yeah, hopefully we see more of him. But you guys are saying no one wants to start from Spurs, right? Does anyone want him to start at Spurs?
I personally would look to start him.
I thought so. Because that's why you want Werner up front, because you want Hudson.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like against Spurs, what Lampard would have wanted to do would be to start Pulisic in an ideal world. And that would mean starting Tammy up top. But if Pulisic, I don't want to rush Pulisic back again because I just don't want to put too much wear and tear on his body. And I want to have it so that he's able to actually come back in when we have like the congested December period. Because that's when we're going to need him. You know, that's where we're going to need the numbers. So on Sunday, as big as the game as it is, if you really do rate Cho, you know, if you really do rate him, I don't see why you can't start him.
Okay.
And that's exactly if. And that's the big, big key word there. If.
That's the question. When I spit bars in a ring, man, I
go hard last and tan. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. When I spit bars in a
ring, man, I go hard, last and tan. So you talked about Tammy, and let's come on to Tammy because he's the third part of the attack that started against Rennes. He didn't score or assist against Rennes, did he?
No.
He didn't, and that's unusual for Tammy this season. When Tammy started, he's either got a goal or assist. Now, it depends if you count winning the penalty as assist, because the Palace game, he didn't actually give a proper assist, but he won one of the penalties. So Tammy's been quietly bubbling. It's been quietly bubbling, as Anu has been saying, like, yeah, keep Werner on the left because Tammy's doing his job on or up front. Now, I want to ask you guys about Tammy's performances because, yes, he's been scoring. Yes, he's been assisting. Are you impressed by his overall performance? will come to you, Anu?
Well, in the Newcastle game, I actually didn't think he was that great. I thought he was pretty quiet. I didn't think his hold up play was that great, which is what he's also in there for. He's always been needing to improve on that, but he got a good goal, so it kind of balanced it all out. So it kind of was an okay game. Obviously, I heard some people saying, listen, he was there. Some people said, I think he got mad at the match. Am I mad?
Yeah, someone said that.
Yeah,
he actually got that.
He also got mad at the match. So obviously, it was a completely mixed reviews there. But against Ren midweek, I actually thought his hold-up play was really good.
Okay.
And I thought he improved massively. I thought for a lot of periods, we didn't have the ball. And when he did get it, he was really making a difference. And there was just no one really around him supporting him. Okay. He should have won a pen. The ref didn't give for some bizarre reason. I thought he actually had a good game, but the stats didn't really show it. I think he's doing all right. I don't think he deserves to be dropped for the next game. I can't see why that would happen. I don't think Lampard's going to do it anyway.
Basically, you think that Babs's point is shit and he shouldn't be dropped. Timpson. Performances. We know he's scoring. We know he's assisting. Even like Anu said, the Rennes game, he didn't get assists, but again, really and truly, he should have got a penalty. Overall performances, talk to me about Tammy in terms of performances, not the goals.
Overall performances, Tammy's playing really, really well. Okay. He's knitting together the attack. I know Ziyech came in and everything started to click, but a lot of that is Tammy as well being a facilitator. If you want to look at the Burnley goal where he sometimes just wins knock-ons, he holds up the ball, and sometimes he does what Giroud's great at as just being a wall, primarily in potentially Ziyech's goal against Burnley. His movement's good. He makes space for Timo, and he also facilitates Timo when he wants to be a centre forward, because Tammy from the academy days, obviously sharing that centre forward position with Dominic Solanke, has played that on the left, so he can do that. And sometimes when Timo's feeling a bit lazy, like, let me just be that centre forward for the minute. Yeah, cool, you do that, I'll cover the left hand side.
Great point. What I'd like to just add to it before we get on to Babs, because Babs is the scandalous one that wants to drop him, so we'll get on to that. But also, Ren scored after Tammy came off, if I'm correct. And I think Tammy's been doing a lot of good work on defensive set pieces. Now, Ren are a big team. They look like a lot of knees out there. If you guys don't know, I'm 6'3". The goalkeeper looked big. The striker, Guirassy, he looked big. So, like, he was kind of like Land of the Giants, and we needed our own Giants there. Now, we've got Zuma that's got hang time, but Tammy defensively, I think, has been doing a lot of great work. And I think maybe we missed, in terms of them scoring that goal, I know it was kind of mountain anyway, but I think we missed Tammy there. But coming on to Babs, you've heard from Timpson, and he articulated very well what Tammy's brought to the team. Do you feel like it's a danger if we drop him against Spurs that, you know, it might not work out? Because right now we've got a winning formula. Is it smart to mess with that formula?
I don't think it's dangerous at all.
Okay.
Because I don't think, as good as the formula has been, I don't think it's really been tested yet at the top level. And there's obviously, with being so early on to the season, there's always time to actually test out new things. And even as risky as that sounds, I feel like having two natural wingers on the field against Spurs, because I don't really think their right-hand side in terms of defensively with Aurier and Doherty is exactly strong, and I feel like that is an area to be gotten at, because I feel like if we look at the right hand side from Reguilon, he just had an amazing game against Mahrez, and I feel like him against Ziyech could be a very, very interesting battle, and we may not see Ziyech getting out of the top of that, you know. And if we only have one winger getting at the fullback, then that kind of like limits our creative force.
Okay.
One point though, Babs, do you remember when we played Seville earlier this season? It was a 0-0 for the first time in the league, and Werner was up top, and then he just was so isolated. The problem I think that might happen, especially in a big game against Tottenham, is that if we play Werner up top it could be another case of that. And because Sabella was solid team, it could be a case of he's isolated and he's looking, because he's always going to look for those runs in behind. Do you get me? And I don't feel sometimes that we as a team, especially Jorginho's not even going to be on, will be hit those balls. Maybe CX will, but it's a lot more of a, I feel it's a lot more of a harder game plan. As opposed to whereas Tammy's going to come towards the ball, he's going to collect it, they can play small, shorter passes and then move from there. I think if we did play well, it would be, it might not work in our favour for that reason. So it's a disappointment.
Was it Southampton or Sheffield United, the one where he scored the two goals? Did he play out front?
Southampton. It was Southampton, yeah.
Did he play out front alone there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Timpson?
So I want to quickly touch on two things. One being Tammy and Werner. Okay. I think what Crystal Palace have done, just to use Crystal Palace as an example, to get the best out of Zaha as a striker, they're using him as a striker per se, but he still kind of hangs out on that wide left.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Jordan Ayew or Mitsy Batshuayi, they pin back the two centre-backs. Mm-hmm. And for a team that want to be tight, to pin back both centre-backs and allow your left winger to have that space, whether it's Timo or Wilfred Zaha, if it's Palace, to pay dividends in what I believe will be a very, very hard to break down and tight affair, because it's a London derby. Then, in regards to Reguilon and how he took out Mahrez has been, for the most part, potentially, particularly this season and that game, he's been playing as an inverted forward where he just wants to cut inside and shoot. Mm-hmm. So it's been easier to kind of anticipate what Mahrez wants to do if you're Reguilon. But Ziyech has such X factor, and he's not going to just drive into the box, cut inside and get a shot off. That's what he wants to do. Sometimes he'll just be like, you want to hang off me? Fine, I'll just pick a pass to the back post, or I'll put it on Tammy's head. And I feel like the different options at Ziyech's disposal will cause more problems for Reguilon than potentially Mahrez did.
Interesting. You both stated your case. Listeners, you've listened. You make up your own mind. Ultimately, it's going to have to be Lampard to decide. We'll see how it goes, what he picks, and we'll see how it goes. Moving on to the next one, we're going to have to talk about Mount. Now, I know that a lot of people don't even want to have discussions about Mount, because Mount gets discussed all the time. But when it comes down to it, he's a key player. Under Lampard, he's almost like the first name on the team sheet, regardless of whether he's playing well, whether he's not playing well. You know, with Jorginho is another one of those players that, you know, especially last season was discussed ad nauseum. So it was Kante, like who should be playing in the pivot. It's Mount this time around. Now, Lampard in the press conference was asked about Mount. Lost a couple of things. And the first thing I want to kind of talk about is that he referenced that maybe Mount doesn't get the love because he doesn't do flicks. He's not Flicks and Tricks FC. Now, first of all, I want to say on behalf of Touchline in general, just RIP to the GOAT that is Diego Maradona. Now, he was the CEO of Flicks and Tricks FC. So my question to you is, what do you think about Lampard's comments about Flicks and Tricks? I know that in a past video, he mentioned with Pogba, he doesn't like Flicks and Tricks in our own half. But in that press conference, actually what he just said was like, in general, maybe he doesn't get the love that he should get because he doesn't do step overs and flicks and tricks. And I feel like Lampard has kind of expressed that he's not, you know, besotted with it. Now, obviously he bought Ziyech and Ziyech does flicks and tricks. So it's not like he completely hates it, but yeah. How did you receive that comment from Lampard? We'll start with you, Anu.
I get what he means, because at the end of the day, you're not going to, it's probably a kind of thing you ain't going to see a lot of Mount possibly on the highlight reels on the match of the day, because he does a lot of the dirty work and things that don't get noticed so much that won't produce highlight reels. So I understand his point, but I feel like if you are a true football fan, you watch the games, or even a Chelsea fan, once you see the qualities of what Mount's doing when he's playing in his best position, being the A, probably defensively, bringing the ball up and his long balls and how hard he works, you'll see that he does get the credit he deserves, I feel. The one criticism I'd have of Lampard on that is that I do feel he gets slightly too involved with that chat across with what the streets are saying and those things. And so he dropped a few things about him being my son and that stuff. Yeah, and it's just
we'll get onto that, but
I'm jumping the gun. But he's referring to that as well with the flicks, and it's just like
I
don't think he should be involved with that one bit.
What it does is it kind of like peels back and kind of lets us know into a little bit of Lampard's psyche and what Lampard rates. And like you said, if you're a football fan in general, obviously with the passing of Maradona, we know that, you can be. I know there's a lot of criticism saying that football's becoming robotic and there's no flair and there's less imagination. And so in that way, he kind of almost belittled flicks and tricks. And I we'll get onto Mount later because there's a lot to cover with Mount. But just in terms of the flicks and tricks comment, did you feel like, for me, because I love the flicks and tricks, and I don't feel like just because you do flicks and tricks, it doesn't mean you can't be effective. So if we go back to the Ren game, the cross that Hudson-Odoi did for Werner, that Werner should have converted, the build-up with Aspi, there was a nice flick from Hudson that created the space. So like, the way that people kind of demonize flicks and tricks, like they're not effective, they can be effective. So like, I guess that's kind of what I'm asking to you. Babs, do you have any takes on it?
I feel like it was just Lampard being very tongue-in-cheek and just in terms of just protecting Mount. And I don't think there was really much to take away from it, because he knows that there's a lot of our players do flicks and tricks. Like, you have Kovacic, you have Kai, you have Ziyech, you even have Reece doing them sometimes. I don't think he's really that much of a topic to look into. Even a Pulisic, I feel like we're not really a team that are robotic in movement. So okay. I feel like it's just kind of like Lampard saying, like, look, this is what Mount's good at, and this is why I don't feel like he's being praised for it, because he doesn't do what other people look onto, if you get what I mean.
It also is so contradictory. It makes no sense as well, because in Lampard's team, he played with Hazard, who famously is up there with one of the best for doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the best players. So, I think you're right, perhaps. It's pure tongue-in-cheek, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I guess it was a little bit of prodding the fan base. Timpson.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one from me, because he doesn't do stepovers, but I feel like we're in a time where you don't have to do stepovers to stand out. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne doesn't do stepovers, but you can tell, and I think similar, Mason does the same thing. When he's in his absolute bag, when he dribbles, the way he strokes a pass, the way he just fires a cross-field pass, like he does it with a certain swagger that just lets you know he is in his bag. So Mason does do that. He does do eye-catching things, but it's not the classic step-over, elastico or whatever, but he still plays with a swagger about him to let you know I'm that guy. And his pass to Callum was one such pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if he's playing with a swagger, then almost belittling swagger just to try to lift Mason Mount up, which I feel like he kind of did. I'm not going to lie, I can speak for myself. I don't like it, just because I know that I feel like in the game, there can be managers telling people to cut out flicks and tricks. But I do feel like I said, with the Hudson-Odoi thing, it can be effective. And talking about Mount specifically, because Mount was close to Werner and the ball was coming out, you know, from the right to the left, like seeing the way that Mount would control it as compared to the way that Werner would control it, Mount has technique. Mount has grace. The way that Mount would take the ball out of the air was much better than Werner. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, I do feel like you can watch Mount and see grace, technique, see a little bit of the beautiful game. But moving on to the next bit, so, yeah, Lampard just didn't hit out on flicks and tricks. Lampard was on an all-out F64. So, like, he hit out again saying that, what did he say? I think the direct quote was something like, I think he was saying basically, proper Chelsea supporters don't get on Mount's back. If you're proper Chelsea, you won't do that. What matters is his teammates or whatever. So this whole proper Chelsea thing, that's kind of caused the debate, definitely in the Discord. Again, go to the Discord. Is there anybody here that saw that comment and kind of read deeper than just him defending Mount? No?
No, I just took it for face value.
Okay, cool. So what else? You know, I'll quote Olu from the Discord because he made me laugh what he said. This is what Olu from the Discord said. He said, shit, one second. Let's read it. He said, Amar really said, proper Chelsea supporters. What a Tory statement to say by Lampard. He said,
yeah, I knew that was where you're trying to push it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is what he said. And he said, like, who are proper Chelsea supporters? Yeah. And then he goes on to say, you know what, this is the funny thing. He goes on to say, the sooner he goes, the better. He's tired of these remarks. But anyway, the reason why, before you go, Andrew, the reason why he says this is because proper Chelsea, look, I know a lot of people, like, there is a civil war. It feels like we can be winning. We've won, like, you know, we've only lost one game this season. That was against Liverpool. So we've had good form. But it still feels like the timeline is a war zone. It feels like there is this kind of divide between, I guess maybe proper Chelsea fans and the rest, or maybe online Chelsea fans and people that go to the stadiums, or maybe international, whatever. But proper Chelsea fan, that proper Chelsea thing, that kind of that started way before the internet. So it's not even an internet thing. This proper Chelsea thing has been one of those things that could be seen as rhetoric and like veiled comments. And like, there was this video where someone was asked if you had to keep, it was obviously silly because you don't really and truly, we get to keep both of them. But someone was asked, as a Chelsea fan, I think it was outside Stamford Bridge, which one would you keep if you had to get rid of them out of Tammy and Mount? And the Chelsea fan said, gotta keep Mount because he's proper Chelsea. So his rationale for Mount over Tammy was that he's proper Chelsea. Now, as a lot of people kind of got onto, actually, you know, Mount came from Portsmouth or whatever place in the South Coast. Like, both of them played for the club since they was young, and it was weird for him. His justification was proper Chelsea. But like I'm saying, proper Chelsea is almost like a loaded statement. So another thing before I kind of open up to you, Andrew, is that Mount isn't the only player that has had this kind of like section of the fans getting onto him. He does have a section of the fans getting onto him. Maybe that's because Lampard's been playing out of position and his performances haven't been great. But we've seen Jorginho have, you know, an element of the fan base get onto him. We've seen it with Kepa, we've seen it, et cetera, et cetera. This is the first time where he said proper Chelsea fans aren't going to do that. And would he say, oh, proper Chelsea fans won't get at Jorginho? Because really and truly, the people that we know as proper Chelsea fans were the people getting at Jorginho. So with all of that I've just unloaded, Anu, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you said a lot there. Like,
I have said a lot.
But the bit I was going to come in before is the reason why I think that the argument's so stupid and why there will never be closure to it is because the definition of proper Chelsea fans. Obviously, the problem is the example you gave, you've now kind of pushed what I was going to kind of ask for. But the reason why I'm saying this is because everyone will have a different interpretation of what they define as a proper Chelsea fan. So some will define it as fans who just watch the game full 90 minutes on TV. Do you know what I mean? Some will define it as the ones who are at the game. Some will define it as maybe the one who actually contribute to like fan discussions and podcasts and that. So how can you have a debate with someone when the definition of what you're discussing is varied across?
But don't you think that's why it's so divisive to say proper Chelsea fans?
No, 100%. That's what I'm saying. That's why the argument, I'm saying the argument's so flawed and it will never go anywhere because the definition of it is so varied. But then when you focused on that specific fan who said that, well, that's obviously, it's clear the agenda he's trying to set there, which is just sad, and it makes no sense. And I don't think that should be any...
And I guess, and sorry for cutting you off, but I guess...
The reason why
I brought this up as a topic, and Timpson, I'll come to you in a second, is because proper Chelsea fan to an element of the fan base can be different to the way that Lampard made it. Now, Lampard can say a proper Chelsea fan won't boo or won't target a player like this. However, we've seen Kepa been targeted, we've seen Jorginho been targeted, we've seen previously Bakayoko been targeted and all of these type of players. Obviously, Lampard wasn't there when Bakayoko was here, but it's just like, okay, cool. A lot of people, and it wasn't just Olu, I saw other people on Twitter kind of asking the question, okay, do I fall under the category of a proper Chelsea fan? And that debate kind of spawned up. Timpson?
Yeah. You touched on what I wanted to touch on in the sense that Lampard's normally very good at choosing his words, but proper Chelsea fan is, as the fan base is well aware of, a very loaded term at the moment. I would like to hope that... do you remember when Jack Grealish came to Mason Mount's defence and said, if you know ball, you know Mace is a player, or something to that to that degree? I feel like Frank was saying, was trying to say the same thing, in the sense that proper Chelsea fans like wouldn't do that to Mace, in the sense that proper Chelsea fans who get behind their club, they're respectful, they voice their opinions in respectable and healthy ways, as opposed to what it's been quite toxically referred to on the timeline, proper Chelsea, which sometimes it has these certain connotations that are quite negative as well. So as like a man of colour as well, I might not be classed as proper Chelsea because, and sometimes it's hard being a Chelsea fan because these people who consider themselves proper Chelsea have made people question me as a man of colour. Why am I a Chelsea fan? So to use that term, it's quite divisive, but I would like to hope that Lampard meant it in the sense that it was not a match-going supporter, not anyone of a certain creed or belief, just someone who who respectfully supports their team and gets behind their club and voices their opinions, whether positive or negative, in a healthy manner.
And I think he did, I'll be honest. I think he did. I would not for 1 minute have thought he meant it. Derogatory manner at all.
I guess even regardless of how he meant it, there is a question about would he say the same for Jorginho? And not that's not necessarily reflect badly on Lampard, but it's just like he knows the proper Chelsea fans, as we know them, were getting onto Jorginho. So he couldn't really say that. Proper Chelsea fans wouldn't get on Jorginho. But anyway, let's move past that. And the final bit I kind of want to ask on this thing, in fact, there's two more bits, but does, like, a lot of people say, because that was a comment defending Mount to criticism. Now, a lot of people say with his earlier season form, since he's played in the 4-3-3, like everybody said, he's had good form. But he kind of said, okay, cool, proper Chelsea fans wouldn't get on him. But a lot of people say that we should point to the manager rather than look at Mount when he was playing badly. So don't you feel like, does Lampard need to take some of the blame for this criticism? Because he's kind of got out of the fans that were getting him, but do you feel like Lampard needs to take some of the blame for Mount's criticism?
Yeah, I guess to an extent, because at the end of the day, he's the one who's putting up the lineups in certain conditions, whether it be him being overplayed or him being played out of position. So at the end of the day, it all does come back to the manager. And to an extent, you have to also say that if you look at it in a way of just like having playing opportunities, it's also down to the player. I mean, if you've got an opportunity to play for Chelsea, you know how big we are, you know what it means coming from the academy. You have to go out there every single day and put your heart on the pitch. And I feel like that's something that we've seen recently from Mount. And like, I mean, not even just recently, but from the last couple of seasons. I mean, he's always been a player that's going to put it out on the pitch. It may not be him, you know, giving us 10 out of 10s every day, but we know with a player like Mount, what he's going to do is he's always going to keep trying.
Yeah.
You know, as your dar as that sounds. And I think that is also important, you know, to have that aspect of the game.
Definitely.
But yeah. Going back to what you said, I think you definitely have to look mainly on the manager because, they are who make the team cheat at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I think since the change, he's been playing great. Now, I do Discord ratings again, join the Discord, get involved. And since Mount has come into the 4-3-3, I checked today, he's had two great games. The first one that I'm sure everyone will know is Barnsley, and then against Wren. Burnley. All the same shit. But against Wren as well, he got man of the match in terms of Discord anyway. So let's talk about the Wren game. Again, like, obviously Camavinga was playing. It's going to be a midfield battle. Everybody's looking at, okay, this kid that's supposed to be wonder kid. I know he's just 18, Camavinga, so I'm not getting onto him. But talk to me about Mount's performances against Wren. And we'll go with you, Timson.
Yeah. Sorry, just say that again, please.
Yeah, Mount's performance against Wren. So, like, I could just kind of remind you just in case you forgot. So, obviously, we all know he got the great assist for Hudson's goal. But apart from just the assist, winning the ball, that kind of tenacity. So you can kind of see like the full kind of spectrum of Mount being a hard worker, winning it back, but then also having the calm and the composure and the quality to deliver a great ball. But then also, he almost scored as well. It was apart from a goalkeeper, I think the goalkeeper made a great reaction save. But yeah, just in general, why do you think he had such a... Because he was the man of the match on the match rating. So why do you think he had such a great response from the Discord and in general for Ren?
At the moment, he's riding a wave. But to look at the game specifically, it's just as you say, he's a 360 midfielder. He gives as much going forward in the offensive end as he does in the defensive end. He's tenacious and he did not look like he always wanted the ball and he always looks lively. So he was really positive and against a so-called generational talent in the making. He showed him up and not because he had more talent on the night, he just outworked him and he just looked hungrier in the occasions where it was 50-50 between them.
Okay, Doug, Anu, Babs, talk about Mount. Don't forget, you can talk about Ren, but you can bring in Newcastle and you can look forward to Spurs.
Yeah, no, just quick on that. I think everyone's really seen how well he's excelled in this, in his number eight position.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he has that, like, I feel honestly, it's gonna be weird to say. I feel like he has that Kante heart to him.
It's
like
true.
He, and I don't think he gets recognised. I think we obviously recognise how hard Kante works all the time and how defensively inept he is and how good he is at intercepting the ball. But Mount is not far off from that. But he works so hard off the ball, and teams, and even how small he is, he's got a small frame. Do you know what I mean? But he takes on the biggest players.
Yeah,
like, I've seen so many times squaring out. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I love that. Like listen, as Mourinho say, you got to be a C word. Listen, you got to be it, bub. You've got to be that if you're to win it. So, yeah. And that's what, and he has that in him. He has that kind of dog mentality, and that's it. Like we've all seen the balls he can do, and how technically class he is. But yeah. I think the bit that doesn't get recognised is his just doggy attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like I said that earlier, when he first came in, his lungs can match Kante. Like, and to have both of them in midfield, incredible.
It's mad, yeah.
Okay, cool. Babs, did you want to come in before we go on to the next person?
I was going to say, yeah, Andrew's just like smashing the part out of the park there. He's put it into perfect words there, yeah.
Okay, cool. So this person didn't play against Ren. He won't play against Spurs. He didn't play against Newcastle. But quickly, just to wrap up the midfield bit, I want to talk a little bit about RLC, just because he came on the weekend. And I think that at this point, it's almost like this was like Lampard usually says for Hudson, you have to take your chance. I just feel like for this, because he hasn't started in the last like three games or whatever, and he came on from the bench, they needed something, and he won a penalty, then scored the goal. Who watched the Fulham game? Who watched RLC?
Yep, I did.
Timpson, talk to me a little bit about what you saw and kind of what hope you're kind of taking from that.
All right, so Fulham looked disjointed. They didn't really look like they had predetermined attacking patterns of play. They just looked like they didn't have any creative goal, and that's with their main man, Tom Cairney, playing in the 10. Mm-hmm. So when Ruben comes on, Ruben has a tendency to kind of cruise through games,
mm-hmm.
To his detriment at times, but the fact that he came on and he clearly had a point to prove, mm-hmm. he was progressive with his runs, he was progressive with his passing, mm-hmm. and he just looked like he just looked to try and make things happen. One sad thing was I think he's better coming in on the left-hand side of a midfield three, mm-hmm. but and that's where he won his, and that's where he kind of set together the move that won the penalty. Mm-hmm. Although he did score straight after from the right-hand side, I think he added a lot to the Fulham attack. And going forward, I think it's now his spot to lose.
Yeah.
But he needs to have that progressive mentality whenever he steps on the field.
Cool. Anu, Babs, do you want to chime in? RLC?
Yeah, sack Scott Parker. What's he doing?
I don't know.
If not, bring our boy back home. What's this rubbish?
Let me tell you what Parker said. Parker said that he knows that RLC has quality. He said he's got the tendency to go missing in games. And I think, just kind of like we've said with Lampard and maybe playing Mount regardless of form, Parker said, no, do you know, even if I believe in you, you're not really doing it. And he said that he needed to take him out. And he said that he didn't just take him out and put him in the freezer. He said he has been working on him and working on how to get him to stay involved in games. And he came on and he changed the game. So one thing that did happen is, just to kind of flesh out the content, he's been playing in number 10, but, and I think they started in that game 4-2-3-1, but when he came on, I think they switched to 4-3-3 now. Quickly going back to Timpson, I know that a lot of people like RLC on the left, but we've seen in games under Sarri as well, like right central midfield, he does bits anyway. I remember the hat-trick he got last season was from right central midfield. So like, it doesn't surprise me he can be effective from that as well. I just feel like as long as he's in a box-to-box position, he's better. Babs, anything on RLC before we move on?
Oh, are you sure you want to come to me about RLC?
Let me.
I'm just joking.
Okay, cool. Because you.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to see him. You know.
Do you believe that RLC has a future at Chelsea as a starter?
No.
Why not?
Because there's just at the moment there's just way too much competition,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like. Okay, cool. To start from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
if he stays fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the quality we see in Adesari.
Mm-hmm.
He's good enough, but the problem is he's too good to be a bench option if he is at that level of fitness.
Yeah, that's why I said starter. And we just talked about
And that's exactly why I don't feel like I don't see him becoming the starter here anymore.
We just talked about how Kante and Mount have incredible lungs, and I think that's the difficulty, especially under Lampard management. You've seen who he bought. You've seen he's bought Ziyech. He's not a luxury player. He chases shit down. You've seen he's bought Havertz. A lot of people thought luxury player. No.
Yeah.
He chases shit down. Werner. Like, he likes people that are working. And so the reason why Hudson-Odoi probably doesn't get as many starts, because when Hudson first came back from injury, he did start like 5 games in a row. But I feel like when Lampard noticed, you can't just be a hard worker. So like the last game, Hudson-Odoi tracked back. Loftus-Cheek, I'm sure he will track back. But he likes people that are constantly pressing. It's kind of like with Mourinho when he had Oscar and he preferred him to KDB. KDB, if you checked his stats in Germany, he ran a lot. But the only thing is, he's not someone that constantly runs, that constantly pressures. And I think that's the difficulty to imagine RLC starting regularly under Lampard. I just feel like as much as he likes him, what Lampard clearly likes is those players that are going to press 100%. And and I think it's difficult because like, I know a lot of people get onto Barkley and they say, oh yeah, Barkley's 26 and what has he done in the game? But look, Loftus-Cheek isn't that far behind him in terms of age, and Barkley's he's played a lot more games. So I just hope that that last game is something that can push him forward and he can start getting games, because more than anything, whether it's at Chelsea or not, I think he's a massive talent. I just want to see him play regularly. So if anyone doesn't have anything else to add, we can move into the next player. Yeah,
let's keep going.
Cool. Jorginho, Babs, take it away. What did you think?
Of his performance against Rennes?
Yeah.
I mean...
This divided the fan base, by the way. This divided...
Personally, I was going to say that I recognise that that performance did divide the fan base, and some were disappointed, some were happy. And I feel like neither side were wrong.
Okay.
Because it was one of those performances where He did do good things in terms of he made a really, really key interception in our penalty area.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, where they had like a little like half chance and like he came and like he sniffed the chance out and he pulled it away.
Yeah.
But then again, he had moments like where it was like some 32-year-old centre back, probably as slow as him, was running through and he was literally just like running away as his boy Kovacic was like looking on, man.
Yeah.
If we had a Kante there, you knew that's not gonna happen. But yeah. I mean, it's not his fault because you know we know physically he can't do it. So I'm not gonna hold it against him. But personally, I wasn't happy with the performance because I would prefer to have someone like Kante there. But it was one of the ones where it's like at the end of the day that you got to do what you have. If you know what I mean.
Kante needs rest too. So like
forget. Yeah. Facts. He needs rest. And he's an understudy.
Comparison to Kante, what like Kante can't necessarily do all the things that Jorginho does. So like in an objective fashion, you've kind of given your opinion. Anu, what did you think about Jorginho? Because I think I was on Discord live with you. I don't know if Anu Discord is different from podcast Discord, because you didn't like Werner on the Discord live, but now you're back in. So
what are we saying, Dan? Is it two sides of the coin here?
It's a Gemini. Are you a Gemini? So
it's the heat of the moment, isn't it? You know what I mean?
So now you've had time to reflect. What would you say about Jorginho's performance?
Honestly, Jorginho, I don't even really remember what he did in that Wednesday game. Like, I just don't even... Like, he was just there, innit? It was just another man. The problem is, I think when he's coming in, Kante's playing, you see what he does the game before, for example. And then, obviously, I get it. You rest Kante to then put Jorginho in. But then you just see flat. Like, I would reckon that, like, when Kante's playing, you recognise what you're doing. You see it. You see the tackle. You see the interceptions. And you see the short passes. And he's just everywhere. With Jorginho, you're just like, I'm just like, wait, what has Jorginho done this game? That's the problem. And I think that the one point I want to make, it's no fault of his own. Like, I still think he's a technically good player, but I just think the squad is running away from him. The squad's moving from him. Even going on to what Anu's saying,
I feel like with the kind of loans we've sent out in terms of our players, I feel like it's going to be some cuts in the midfield, and I feel like he's definitely going to be one of them.
So what I'll say is, like you're saying, in terms of the drop off from Kante, listen, there's not Kantes everywhere. We've seen like United.
We're sport in that sense.
This is what I'm saying. United try to find a Kante for Pogba, because he seems to be the only player to make Pogba look good. So it's not like if we sell Jorginho, we can find a Kante replacement that is going to look like Kante when Kante needs a rest. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's that to take into note. But also, Jorginho regained possession 11 times for Chelsea through his pressing actions. And that's more than any other player on the pitch. Now, I know that people hate stats when it comes to Jorginho, but when it comes to Kante, they love stats. I know, like, there's that duopoly, like, oh, tackles and interceptions only matter when it comes to Kante. It doesn't matter when it comes
to... Would you like another interesting stat?
What, the dribbled past that, right?
No.
It's not about Jorginho. It's actually about another player.
Okay, but we're on Jorginho now.
Karen.
Bakayoko, you could say.
No, I was going to say Bakayoko.
Okay, is this stat going to be relevant later on, or do we need to bring it up now?
It may be relevant later on, yeah. It's a tackle stat.
Okay, cool. All right. Everybody, audience, Tips and Anu, let's look out for this stat. This better be good, Babs.
No worries.
Cool. Does anybody else have anything? Because we don't really have much to say on Jorginho. I guess you guys don't want to start him against Spurs. You want Kante to come back in. That's unanimous, right?
Straight swap.
When I spit bars in a rave, man, I go hard, last and tan.
Hello, me here from Touchline Frackers. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. So businesses all over the globe have been challenged to be their most efficient, and that means that every single hire that they have is critical. Indeed are the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the right person for your business. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out for a free $75 credit at indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
When I spit bars in a rave, man, I go hard, last stand, tan.
Cool. So if no one has anything else to say about Jorginho, let's quickly touch on Kovacic, because Kovacic played the match too. Timpson, anything significant about Kovacic?
No, just a well-rounded performance. Doesn't have any like standout strengths apart from his ball retention whilst dribbling. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have any underlying flaws in his game. He's just very smooth. But to be where we want to be, we need a number eight who can bring more in the offensive end, I think.
Good squad player, though?
Yeah, he's handy. But honestly, I would rather that spot he's occupying be given to an academy prospect.
Fair enough. Anu, I'll leave Babs to last because I know you've been on him for ages. Anu.
This will be quick. I think he's a good squad player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's all right. He's doing fine. I respect him as a player. But I want to say this. I wonder if anyone noticed it about cover. It was in the Newcastle game. I feel like because he's playing higher up now, you know, before he used to be in the double pivot.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on Discord as well, because he's playing higher up now. I feel like he's now trying to do these bit of these loopy through balls. And I'm just like, guy, that's not you. And none of them worked. And I felt for him because I feel like he feels like he now has to be more of the creative side, because now Kadri just controlling the back and he's got him out next to him. Mm-hmm. And they weren't working. But I applaud the effort, but he needs to stick to his 5-yard passes. That's what he's good at.
Does he? He scored 2 goals in one game in international break. A lot of people say stick to not shooting. Do you know what I mean?
Let him just stick to what he's good at. please.
Okay, so this hasn't gone well, and we haven't even come to his biggest hater. This
good squad player, though. Good squad player.
Good squad player. Yeah. Good squad player. Babs, is he a good squad player?
Can I start from the beginning before I answer that question?
Start from the beginning, bro.
Right. So I heard Anu mention a very, very good point in terms of attempting new things.
Uh-oh.
And it's going to sound like you're going to probably think I'm going to criticize it, but no, I'm actually going to give him praise for once. You know?
Okay.
Because as Anu said, he's been trying a lot to add a bit more to his creative bag. And I feel like with the current competition we have in the squad, I know we all know this thing, competition breeds success, you know? Mm-hmm. And if the competition brings it out of him,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he could be a very, very wonderful player. Like going into next season, he could be a player that could be straight on the chopping board and straight out of the club. I'm joking. But yeah, I mean, he can be a good squad option. But I feel like as Timpson has said also, I'd rather give it to a youth player. And it's not that he's a bad player. I just feel like mm-hmm. we can probably get a lot more of another player than him.
Fair enough. My notes, I don't really have much on Kovacic. I'm not like a Kovacic hater by any
sense. You're more of a fan, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not like a diehard stan either. I just feel like where a lot of people kind of want to start agendas against players and stuff like that, I don't really have that. If I start agendas, it's like more against fan base. Do you know what I'm saying? So if like the fan base have something, if I feel like they're treating the player unfair, then I will ride for that player. Or if they really overrating a player, then I'll kind of, you know, get onto the fan base. But yeah, so we can move on for
COVID. I have a question about another player though. I don't know if you've got it. Aspi, maybe?
Aspi, well, come on, because we've just finished the midfield and we're coming onto the defence. So yeah, let's start with Aspi then. Let's start with Aspi, since you want to host. Take it away.
I feel Aspi, he slotted in perfectly, mm-hmm. his runs.
He did.
You know, I don't think anything that really came by his side, you know. He made sure he was in a good position to like win the ball like, through interceptions. He was making recoveries. Mm-hmm. He was making good tackles. And I feel like him and Cho, like surprisingly, like... literally, remember ahead of the match, I said that I don't think they're going to link up, but he proved me wrong and he linked up. And I feel like that may be as a result of seeing the young boy, Reese, you know, taking his position. And I feel like, as we've said, competition breeds success. And in this season, and it's going to be a long season, and we're going to want to win something. Like, having that competition there to breed that,
it's
going to go a very, very long way.
I don't think that's Aspie's problem in a game that it's not that pressing on him. He's so intelligent. He's an intelligent player. So he's always going to be... I was never worried about him when it comes to that. But if you're going to play with a strong left winger now, that's where his body just fails him. So that's the problem. Yeah. So I don't think it's a case of... he doesn't know what to do. He wouldn't slot in. He's always going to be able to slot in at right back easily because he's intelligently there. He's so well-rounded. It's just that his body can't do what his brain's telling. The pace of the game, he's not at it right now. So against Rennes, I think it's easy to be like, okay, you were fine there. Let's put him against a City or a Lib.
And then, I'm not saying that.
But that's what you've got to kind of, you know what I mean? You've got to think about that as well, isn't it? But I'm happy for him, but
So we're happy for him, but we're not saying we want him to start against Spurs.
No, for me personally, it's just reassuring knowing that we have a backup at left back and right back. Rest him, RJ and Chile.
Cool. Any more on Aspi before we move on? Because we're going to rattle through the next bit.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Okay, cool. So let's go fullback to fullback then. Chilwell he's hardly put a foot wrong since he's come. However, Jeremy Doku, the young ball from Belgium, just signed for Rennes. He came on in the last game just for a cameo, started this game. He terrorised Cahill. I'm even calling him Cahill.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying. He terrorised Chilwell. He terrorised him. Chilwell was making blind passes. In this 4-3-3, Mount is supposed to kind of drop in to help him, but Chilwell just looked stranded out there. A lot of their chances was coming down that whole left side. Werner couldn't trap the ball. Chilwell was looking terrible. Thoughts on Chilwell?
Yeah, I feel like Chilwell got isolated really, really badly. And I feel like that's also like a reflection of the midfield as well, in terms of not supporting him. And that's not just Kovacic, that's Mount as well, you know, and Werner up top. These guys need to come back and provide him support, like when he's playing against like a winger like that. Not to say that he shouldn't have done better, because he definitely should have, in terms of like being sloppy with the passes. But yeah, I feel like we need to see the left side as well track back, because
that was right hand side. Oh, that's not Kovacic. You can't put out Kovacic. Kovacic is playing.
That was Kovacic. No, I'm pretty sure it was a 4-2-3-1, wasn't it?
No, it was I think it was 4-3-3, right? 4-3-3. Timson, what you said?
Yeah, pretty sure it's a 4-3-3. Mount left centre midfield.
Yeah.
Maybe if he was rotated more, he's probably got more energy. But I feel like he was due a rest, Chilwell, and to come up against a pure runner like Doku was very unlucky, and doubly unlucky when he doesn't have a Kante to kind of help usher him down the line. So the two variables worked against him there. So it was just a bit unlucky, and I'm going to put it down to a slight bit of burnout.
Yeah, because it wasn't just Doku, however you pronounce it, but it was blind passes as well. unforced errors. That's the type of shit we thought was gone with Emerson.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit scary, and there was like a lot of chat from Leicester fans that. He did have like a shaky form, and I remember I didn't watch the game, but everyone was saying that Mahrez gave him a bad day. So it's something to watch anyway. Anyway, I don't know if you have any more or if you want to move on to the next.
No, we can move on.
We can move on. Okay, cool. So let's go into the subs quickly. We're not going to touch on every single player. Thiago, Zuma, I think they've done well.
I think Chilwell was tired.
Yeah, so that's what Timson said as well.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about... Let's talk about Kante first, because Kante came off the bench and I think he looked amazing. Again, a lot of people saying, sell Kante. I felt like just a month ago, people were telling me to sell Kante and that he's done. And now everyone's saying world class. You can't say Kante's name without hearing world class followed 2 seconds later. So we don't really have to dwell on Kante, but I just thought, again, when he came on, all I saw was world class. I don't know if anyone has anything else to add.
You can see what he brings to the team when he's not there. That's cool. All like world class.
Cool.
Never ever doubt him again.
What I'm saying. Let's leave it at that. Never doubt him again. Put some respect on his name. All right, cool. Giroud, another substitute. Now, Giroud has every right to be upset. I saw after the match, so obviously when Werner didn't finish his dinner, that header, it was far out. And I don't know how he did it. And I don't think anyone kind of... I think at that point, I had accepted that we was going to draw that game. And Giroud to come on and show his class once again. Talk to me about Giroud. It's difficult now because his agent has kind of recently hinted that, in January, he needs to look to leave. So how do you think Lampard has managed this Giroud situation? And talk to me about Giroud in general. Start with Timpson.
I think Frank's always been complimentary about his professionalism and how he's handled the lack of game time. Mm-hmm. I think the reports saying that we're willing to let him go as a thank you are really good. And I think Chelsea fans that are saying we should try and persuade him to stay is a little bit self-serving, and it's a little bit selfish because people are saying that I heard someone say that, oh, he's definitely secured that France spot. France, with the depth they have in Marcus Thuram or Odson Edouard, could have very good seasons, and him not playing would jeopardize his chance to overtake Thierry, because after this I see him retiring after this tournament. So mm-hmm. I think to safeguard his legacy and to secure his space in the French squad, he needs to be playing, and that's just not going to be at Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, he's old now. It's not like he's got another couple of international tournaments in him. This is important, and like, as much as you're a Chelsea fan and you're almost best for Chelsea, I just feel like he's already given us a second chance to show that we needed him. And for me, again, Lampard showed that he doesn't really need him. Babs, do you have anything on Giroud?
Yeah, I mean, he's been, as we said before, he's been a good servant. I mean, I don't think Lampard's been bad in terms of like managing it. I feel like obviously there could have been better minutes for him, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a thing of like, we have to, you know, invest in Tammy because he's the young striker now. And Giroud definitely knows that, you know, and he knows that his role in the squad is obviously going to be the first striker. And yeah, I mean, going into the Euros, you know, in terms of like beating Henry's record, you know, that's going to be a big thing to do. That's what, I think he's 7 goals behind, and I don't think he's going to do that anyway. So it may sound harsh, but yeah, he may do it, but you know, I don't think that's going to have anything to do with Chelsea, personally.
Yeah, I mean, like even without the record, just playing another tournament, that's important. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
It's important. Yeah, it's very important. Yeah, it's very.
Yeah, but then also like as a, if you're going to commit to having three strikers, no one's saying start him every game. Don't you think he could have? I know I'll ask you this one. Don't you think that Lampard could have done more to kind of envelop Giroud into some games, even if it's through cameos?
I guess, but Apologies.
Yeah. Go.
Go on.
Cool. I guess, but I mean, thinking back to like, the matches we played, I can't really think of any match where I felt like this is a match where we need Giroud.
Yeah, but it's not even like, do we need him at this point, but just to keep him happy, just to like get on a pitch so we can say to Ben, let's go on, Anu.
This is a quick one. The thing about Lampard, though, you know that when he does his subs, he loves doing his late subs. They come on. That's the problem. He's always been like that. There's nothing changed.
Yeah.
But I think what's great now? Now we've qualified for the Champions League early, right? Am I right?
Yeah, we're qualified. Yeah, the first, I think it was the first. I'm not sure if we're still the only, but it was definitely the first to qualify.
So I think it would be mad for him not to start those next two games for them. Just let him play. But I do think he has to stay, and I think Lampard's in a really sticky situation.
That's the issue.
Because at the end of the day, Tammy gets one big injury, Werner gets one big injury, it's completely game changer. And if we let him go, then...
Right, which is why when I asked Babs, don't you feel like he should have done more? It's because I think we need him just in case, because he's done so... He dragged us to the Champions League.
This Christmas period as well is so mad. That
yeah. Okay, so Timpson, finish up on Giroud.
Yeah, I'm just going to add that caveat that for playing time, what's helped him more recently is the fact that Tammy is starting. So everyone's complaining about, well, they're not happy with the minutes that he's getting at the moment. Could you imagine if Tammy and Giroud were still sitting on the bench with Werner playing through the middle? Still not be the first. Yeah. Now he's the first striker off the bench. Yeah. That would not be the case if Tammy was is scoring. So right now he's getting a lot more minutes than we expected him to with both strikers.
He's still barely getting any minutes, but right now,
I agree with that. Yeah, the minutes haven't been enough, but I get what Timpson's saying.
Yeah, I get what. No, that's a great point, and I'm already going to declare Timpson man of the match because that's like the fifth time that's a great point. Okay, cool. Lampard, I'm sorry, Anu, I know you're disappointed, but man, like Timson.
Anu needs new man.
That's it. I need a break anyway.
Cool. Let's finish. We're finishing up. We're coming to Ziyech. Ziyech came on and he created that chance. First and foremost, he created a chance for Chilwell, and Chilwell got on ahead of one of these kind of like set pieces, crosses, and then he created that chance for Werner. Ziyech, yeah, Newcastle, if you've got anything to say on Ziyech, and looking forward to Spurs or Rennes. Yeah, anything on Ziyech, apart from obviously his just managing to create chances for fun.
I have a question, but it relates to Ziyech and the other guy who's come back from his coronavirus thing. Am I right to ask that question now?
Roberts.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, ask it, yeah.
All right.
The other guy, you know.
Yeah, so basically, from my estimation, we saw 4-3-3 with Mason on the left, mm-hmm. Kovacic on the right as 2-8. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so basically, Kai came on for Kovacic, which would mean that he would play on the right side of the midfield three. And obviously, Ziyech came on like a minute before. Mm-hmm. But strangely enough, Kante played on the right-hand side of the three. And Kai Havertz
traveled left, yeah.
Yeah, to the opposite side. So there's already been concerns of when Ziyech drifts into the midfield, he might step on Kai's toes in that because he'd be in that midfield area. Mm-hmm. I know Kai likes to drift out wide, but the fact that there was a conscientious decision for Kai to go to the opposite side of the pitch to hack him, so there's, I wonder, will this be something to be concerned about, potentially them kind of getting in each other's areas?
But I swear I needed paper and pen there to start drawing out these lines.
Yeah. It was difficult to visualise, but I guess we get
it. I see it. Shouldn't it be the responsibility of then whoever's in the eight on the right side to go where ZX is left?
I mean, yeah. What I would say is because we have to remember Jorginho is still on the pitch and the best position we've seen Kante be in when he's in the three-man midfield that's not in the hole, that's been the right side of the midfield. So I feel like that was more of a thing of just like playing Kante in a position where he's more comfortable on his right foot, yeah, rather than it being like him trying to like avoid stepping on toes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Your junior was still on the pitch, so it made sense for Kante to go right side of the midfield. But go on, Alu.
As the question stands, sorry. If Havertz starts as the right-sided eight, mm-hmm, I think there is potential for him, Ziyech, to kind of step on his toes or vice versa, or even potentially inhibit Kai's game.
Not really. The reason why I say not really is because I think it'll be fine. So like, I think we've seen it already a couple of times. And I think potentially for me, all it will do is strengthen that side. Just because I think good players like them, they're both good at one-touch football. I like it when they're on the same side because they can do that one-touch football. There's sometimes when we've seen Hazard go from the left to the right to link up with the other winger because they're kind of on the same page. I feel like it's cool that we've got Havertz and Ziyech on that side of the pitch. I think that a lot of the times people do this where they say, oh, these two players are similar. You've got to separate them. You can't play them in the same midfield. I think generally for me, when I see that happen, because people think on the same wavelength because they are similar, it's nothing but good things. And I think so far from what I've seen, it's fine. And I look, this is not the first time Ziyech has played in a 4-3-3 and has played with a right central midfielder. So again, I don't think it's an issue. But I don't know if there's anyone on the floor that does think it's an issue. Nope. Okay. We'll move on. We'll finish up. We'll finish up on Lampard. Unless you want to talk about Havertz, because there is a little bit of, let's just move on. Let's just finish on Lampard. We actually topped the table for a little bit on the weekend. Look, I know that this is analysis and everybody wants to pick holes, but I thought some praise for Lampard is due because we kind of look like the strongest team in the league, along with Spurs. So yeah, coming into the Spurs game, I guess, what's your thoughts? Because I don't even want to mention it, but this is going to be the thousandth game for Roman Abramovich. It's going to be the thousandth game for Roman Abramovich. The reason why I don't want to mention it is because the thousandth game for Wenger, Jose Mourinho is the opposite manager, and
he was there for him.
Right. So Lampard is facing Jose Mourinho, who is obviously his mentor. Or was his mentor at a point? But yeah, like so far, I think Lampard has won or at least not lost every single game against Jose Mourinho. So how do you feel like Lampard's going to fare this weekend? And how do you think Chelsea are going to fare? And that's the final question. We'll start off with the man of the match. I'm sorry, Anu. We'll start off with Tim.
I think it comes down to covering Harry Kane when he drops into those deeper areas and just keeping an eye on the runners in behind, most notably Son. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've got the firepower and we're always going to score. Their defence isn't the tightest and we've got too many game-changing players to worry about. The attacking phase is just containing the threat that Spurs will bring going forward. I think Zuma's recovery pace will come in handy tracking the runners, but the coordination between Thiago Silva and Kante will be very important as well when Kane drops into those deeper positions.
Okay. Babs, we've seen a lot of the big games. I know we've played Spurs already and we've played with 4-3-3, but we've seen in a lot of the big games, Lampard, be cautious. Yeah. Go to either go to like a five at the back or have the wingers tracking have the fullbacks or whatever. Babs, what's your thoughts? Do you feel like Lampard should play the similar way that we've been playing or make defensive adjustments?
You must remember minded. And I mean, and I feel like this is going to be a game where it comes all down to Lampard and if he wants to let Mourinho get in his head or if he wants to just stick to his game plan. And I feel like as long as we don't go in the game too apprehensive and too defensive and just stay on the front foot, I feel like the game is there for the taking. And my only worries would be, as I knew and Timpson has said, as Kane dropping in. But I feel like with a player like Kane dropping in, we have Kante there. And I feel like Kante's going to be able to do a good job on him. Mount's also there to offer energy. But the only problem I would say is the test of Heung-min Son. He's been in good form. And with him dropping on our right-hand side, there's going to be a lot of focus on like what happens like in terms of who drops back, because it's going to be a thing of, is Kai going to drop back and is it going to be a thing of what we saw against Brighton where Kai was basically a right wing back, or is it going to be a thing of we're trying to limit it by squashing Spurs in, squashing them up into their own pitch? And I feel like there's going to be a lot of things for Lampard to think about, because if we play that 3-4-3, we will be seeing Kai dropping back. But if we play the 4-3-3, not that he won't drop back, but I feel like it would be a lot more on the front foot in terms of playing the game.
And you would play if he was Lampard?
4-3-3. Has to be.
And Havertz.
Stick to your guns.
And Havertz would come back in for you?
As controversial as it sounds, maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe not.
And so who would play?
Because obviously, that's the problem. I'm honestly just not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
Okay. Well, think on it and we'll come back to you. And have you said your point? I teased this point earlier and the listeners have been thinking, when's it going to come up? Have you said it already?
Is it about Lampard going back to the five at the back?
Oh, no, your point, your stat.
You had a point earlier in the podcast.
That I was like back
here. Oh, the tackling stat.
The tackling. Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, people get onto Jorginho, like he doesn't win enough tackles. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, He's won 11 tackles, which is only two less than Chilwell, and actually five more than Thiago Silva. So I feel like people are quite a bit harsh on him defensively, and I feel like
no way, not from that. That's unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, and the things, you know me, I'm not his biggest fan, but I'd have to admit that.
Well, Mitchell has more tackling opportunities than defenders, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, but it's also good to see that he's not shirking his responsibility.
Yeah, 100%. And to be fair, one thing I've realised from you is that I'm going to crown you Babs second man of the match after Timpson. Because you've been mad objective. I know we haven't need you to do at all in this podcast. You shouldn't even come. No, I'm joking.
That's from Discord.
Yeah, definitely. Discord live. Catch Annie on a Discord because Annie's been hyping up all week. It's always a pleasure to have you. Just as an ending note, I asked you about a couple of weeks ago about Spurs. Are you worried about them? Are you worried about their attack? You said, no, you're not worried about them. You said that Kane is injury pro, Son is injury pro. We are playing them on a weekend. You're going to be in a Discord.
Who said this?
Go on.
Who said this?
You. I'll get the footages. I'll get the footages. But listen, we're playing them. You're going to be in a Discord live. You're talking about a big game. What are your expectations for the game?
Stop thinking, bro. Listen, I think he should keep the same team. I actually think he should keep it as he did for Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same. And I think we could do it, man. I'm really confident with Thiago Silva and Zuma at the back. I think they'll be able to deal with them. We got the pace for Chilwell and Reece James. Even if they get him behind, I really think they're going to cover. I'm confident, man. I'm confident. It's going to be a tough game, tough challenge, but we're going in the best form possible.
Cool.
I wouldn't be one to say I can't come on give it a big one all week about Discord and say we ain't going to win, can I?
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Okay, cool. Yeah, so definitely, Annie will be on a Discord live. We hope to see you there too. Thanks for coming, Anu. Always a pleasure, bro.
Thank you so much, man. Always so much fun.
Babs, aka second man of the match. Thanks for coming. Been a pleasure.
Thank you again, Dan.
Finally, Simpson, class performance. The Kante of the podcast right now. All right, cool. Before we finish up, I've got to say apologies on my behalf because obviously you guys listen in and we're supposed to come with the insight. And when we signed a certain player, I told you that his name was pronounced Mandy, not Mendy. However, he's come out and said that's bullshit and that's actually Mendy. So, yeah, apologise. I was led astray by the commentators or whatever. but yeah, I was led astray. So, yeah, we'll end it there. Touchline Fracker, Chessie Hour. Use the hashtag, share with a friend. Thanks for coming. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Guys, that was sick, I think. Yeah, nothing else. Any names for that? Yeah, I just thought it was for that. Just think about it, I mean, just
put it in. May never play for Chelsea again. He will never be forgotten. He's in.
Just came back. Hazard. Trying to find a way through. Oh, that is magnificent. Magical.
Just
brilliant run by Hazard! Oh, that is absolutely phenomenal!
That's more like Kante. They do threads on Twitter and ranting. Doing the most. True say that money is power, so when you get money, keep fighting. Ghost. Ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time, it's a golden goal. And it